Good morning, Soma. We will, before I jump in, I'm going to release the kids and the youth. Children, youth, you are a blessing from the Lord Jesus, and we are excited to see how God ministers through you this morning, and you are an active part of our family. We love you. Enjoy the service. Thank you for your prayers from last weekend. I have been down with the flu for the last 2 weeks and still not 100%, so keep your distance from me. And but really appreciate your prayers, and but certainly on the mend. The kids and Lindsay are doing just fine today, so I'm still stuck with some lingering symptoms. Before I jump in as well, I want to take a moment and talk about what's happening in Israel. If you haven't heard, over almost 300 people have now died from the bombing that's been happening between Hamas and Israel, and the terrorist organization Hezbollah, stationed in Lebanon, has taken credit for some of the damages. And what's happening there is just heartbreaking, and people are dying left and right. And so I think it is a good principle for the people of God to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem, like David said in Psalm 122. But peace not just in Jerusalem, but peace all over the world, like between Ukraine and Russia. So I just want to take a moment now, and would you join me to just say a prayer for the people who are in Israel? Father, your word says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it wherever you wish. So, Lord, I submit to you Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Isaac Herzog, Mahmoud Abbas of Palestine. Lord, I pray that you would turn their hearts toward peace and their people toward peace. Lord, would you stop the killing? Stop the bloodshed, Lord. We pray for peace in Jerusalem, that sacred and precious city. Lord, we also remember all of the tragedies that are happening in the world, such as Ukraine and Russia. We pray for peace and unity between those nations. We pray for peace in Syria. Lord God, this is your world, and you delight in the prayers of your people, and so we submit them to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in James 1, 16 through 18 this morning. Will you please stand with me as I read the Word of God? So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. This is God's word given to us and humanity to know how to follow Jesus in a dark world. Please be seated. Follow the unchanging God over your own desires. That is James' main point in these three verses this morning. Last week, Warren beautifully preached verses 12 through 15, where you learn about human nature and about the nature of how temptation works. We learn that temptations come from within ourselves, and that God does not tempt us. It's not in God's nature to tempt his children to do evil. The blame game is so pervasive in our culture. I'm not the problem. It's never my fault. It's his fault or her fault, or maybe it's God's fault sometimes, we say. It is human nature to never want to take responsibility for our actions. And that is what happened from the very beginning with the first humans to ever walk the earth. Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent for eating the fruit that God had commanded them not to eat. Let's read the story. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" he replied. "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." And the world became cursed because humanity was selfish and blamed each other for their actions. And there's nothing new under the sun today. But it is the way of Jesus to accept responsibility for your actions. Jesus Christ took responsibility for Adam and Eve's evil actions. And Jesus Christ took responsibility for our evil actions by getting punished on a cross. He absorbed the responsibility through his death so that we can have forgiveness from God. We have forgiveness in Jesus Christ because he overcame the death we deserved by rising from the dead. Believe in Jesus today and receive his forgiveness because he took your blame on the cross. That was last week's message. And today we learn about God's nature in verses 16 to 18. James is going to teach us from the temptation passage from last week and from today's passage that God is the only constant in a changing world filled with changing people where we are surrounded by temptation. We are sinners, made of the stuff that is anti-God. And because we are sinners, we hear many voices all throughout the day. Do you know what is the most powerful voice you and I hear every day? James says it is Mr. Temptation. Our natural desires and inclinations are inherently devoted to tempting us from loving and following anything but God. And in light of that truth, James says in verse 16, to not be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't let the voice and the power of temptation overtake you. That is normal and natural to being a human. Do you know how easy it is to be deceived? My daughter Lydia is 5 years old, and she often dupes me. In our home, our children are taught to wash their hands after they use their bathroom, a habit that I'm still trying to learn myself. Time is precious. So Lydia hates to miss out on TV time or play time if she has to spend time washing her hands. So after she comes out of the bathroom, I'll ask her, if she washed her hands? And she'll innocently respond, yes, I washed my hands, and I will believe her. After all, how am I going to challenge all that cuteness? Of course I'm going to believe her. But then Lindsay will pop over, and she'll notice that her hands are completely dry, and that the sink is completely dry, which means that she never washed her hands. Just like that, I was misled by my daughter. But we are also not to be misled by our own desires that produce temptation. Don't be misled thinking that God tempts you. And don't be misled about God's character when you are tempted. Is it possible that you could be misled about who God is when you are tempted? James is telling us not to be deceived about your view of God. What is your view of God? James says, don't be misled about the truth that God does not tempt or test you. Temptation comes from within you and not from God. And how would you define temptation? Temptation is being lured by your own desires to do evil rather than what is good. And to be human means to experience a lifetime of temptations. The scholar Sam Alberry says that temptation is our constant companion from cradle to grave. And so we need not to be surprised by temptation, and we do need to understand it. And so James is saying that we who are always facing temptation to sin should follow the unchanging God. We are always being tempted to sin. What is sin? Does sin simply mean to break the rules? Sin is choosing to love anything more than God. The late pastor Tim Keller says, sin is taking something that may not be a bad thing, but is something you want badly and becomes a fatal attraction. It is taking anything, a good thing like a career or a relationship, but wanting it badly. I will lose everything if I lose my job. My career is my life, so if I make a mistake or lose my job, then I am a failure. I have a friend who was recently married, and she would often tell me over the years, should you, if I could just be married, then my life would be made whole. I badly want somebody to love me. Or I'd hear, if I could just live somewhere where the politics are more conservative, that will solve all our problems. The temptation to live for your job and be destroyed when you lose it or make a mistake. The temptation to be loved and go to extreme lengths to get it. The temptation for the Christian to chase after comfort and move to a conservative state. James is teaching us that human beings are the cause of their own misery when they are tempted, and they are the cause for when they give into their temptation. What temptations are you facing today? Are you tempted to commit illegal acts, whether they are big or small? Are you tempted to look at porn, cheat on your spouse? There's only one person to blame, yourself. It does not come from God. And if you give in to the temptation, it will kill you. Eugene Peterson translates verses 14 and 15 this way. The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby. Sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer. Cheating on your spouse, even if it's an emotional affair, will kill your family. Committing illegal activity will kill your reputation. Getting drunk will kill your body and your relationships. Kill the opportunity for sin or temptation before sin kills you. Don't be misled, James says, about how temptation works and take responsibility for it. And remember the unchanging God when you are tempted to do evil. And James is saying in verses 17 and 18 to not be misled about who God is. He says that anything good and perfect in your life came down from God, the good gift giver. And he is specifically the creator of lights who never changes or shifts his positions like lights often do. I am not a fan of sitting in the sun, even though I know I could use a tan. So when I am outside for a meeting or doing some reading, I will purposely position myself to not get hit by the sun. But within minutes, and it happens every time, the sun finds its way over my head. And I'm getting the tan I so desperately needed. God does not shift around like the sun does or like lights do. He is constant and he is unchanging in his character. He's not moody like us, not fickle like us. And he does not get tossed around like we are because of all the temptations that surround us. God is steady and consistent. You have been told by our culture to follow your heart or listen to your heart and don't resist your desires. This has infected the minds and hearts of the church in America today. But James is saying to us to follow God instead of our hearts. The book of Jeremiah defines what the human heart is. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Family, we should not spend our lives trying to hear voices when our hearts are factories that produce temptations around us. James warns us not to be deceived because we are easily deceived people. The safest place to be is to know God by regularly reading and anchoring yourself in the Bible and trust in his character. This is how you replace the voice of temptation. Please don't wait to hear a voice from the sky. Instead, the Apostle Paul says to do this. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Don't trust in your own ability to discern a voice. Trust in the God of the Bible and his church to guide you. God is stable and unchanging when we are always changing and our desires are always changing. When we give into our temptation, we give birth to sin. And in contrast, James says in verse 18 that God gives birth to us by giving us his true word. What is James talking about? First, notice he says that God chose to give birth to us. We didn't earn this birth, but it was God's decision to give to us. Second, by giving birth to us, he gives us his true word. What is the birth James is referring to? It is the cross of Jesus Christ being pregnant with the salvations of many men, women, and children. When you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and conquered death by rising from the dead, you are birthed out as a child of God. You go from being an enemy of God, a nominal Christian, an atheist, an agnostic, a Buddhist, Sikh, Muslim, Hindu, and you are born again into this world as God's child that his son Jesus Christ died for. James says God gave birth to us by giving us his true word. Who is the true word that James is referring to? Jesus Christ is the true word. Word in Greek is logos. In another book in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is called the logos, and he is called God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The new birth that James is referring to has saved us from death and has given us the power to not give in to temptation. Did you catch that? The new birth has saved us from death and has given us the power to not give in to temptation. Humans always give birth to sin, but God gives birth to us to become lovers of God who have a love relationship with him. Third, we who God gave birth to and have his true word, James says, are now his prized possession. He says we are his treasure. And he shows us off to the world as we live in his world as his witnesses. The unchanging God has given us the power to resist our temptations and to choose a life of joy and obedience to him instead. How should we respond to this? Why should we resist temptation and follow Jesus? First, we resist temptation and follow Jesus in a dark world because he gave birth to us by sacrificing his own life for us. Second, we resist temptation and follow Jesus in a dark world because James says we are his prized possession. And lastly, we resist temptation and follow Jesus in a dark world to become like Jesus in every way. That is the whole point of all of this. The former atheist turned Christian philosopher C.S. Lewis wrote in his book Mere Christianity that every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. Becoming a Christian is not like switching parties from being a Republican to a Democrat or a Democrat to a Republican. Becoming a Christian is not to become a nice person, although Christians should be nice people. It's not merely to obey a bunch of rules and stop certain behaviors. If Christianity was just a rule-following religion, then it would be no different than any religion in the world, like New Ageism or Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism. We would be wasting our time today, and I should be flying back home to Philly tonight. There is no hope in following rules. Humans don't need more rules to feed their self-righteous egos. Humans need saving. Jesus did not save us to become nice people. He saved us to become new people, as Lewis says. Christians are a new people whose confidence does not come from our accomplishments, but because God says you are His treasure. Can you imagine how different your life would look if your father treated you like a treasure? Some of you are blessed to have a dad like that. We are treasures to our Father in heaven. You don't have to perform for Him. You live this life with Him. And He becomes the chief lover of your soul. If you are a Christian, your confidence comes from knowing that the God who is obsessed with you is a good God and is unchanging, even when you are changing and even when your circumstances are changing. Family, I invite you, I invite us to surrender our hearts and our whole life to the God who loves us. Let us go to God now and prepare our hearts to respond to what He has spoken to us. Will you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word, where we are revealed the God of the Bible and Your character, and how You initiated Your rescue mission to love us, to save us from our sins, to make us new people, to become lovers of God, and to become more like Jesus, the lover of our soul. Father, I ask that You would save this morning, that You would bring men, women, and children today who don't know You, who have never entered into a relationship with the God of heaven who treasures them. Would they give their lives to You right now? I pray for those who have done the Christian dance, maybe nominally, said the right things, but truly never really knew You. Lord, I pray that You would shatter the wall that has been the barrier between their hearts and You, and would You come into their lives this morning? Lord, I pray for those who are discouraged, maybe those who didn't have a dad who treasured them throughout their life, who has just been gung-ho on not resisting any of their temptations, but just giving in to all their desires. Lord, I pray that You would call them back to repentance this morning, to live a life of obedience to You, and discipline, and joy, and peace. Lord, there's no better life than to live a life of obedience to You, to know You and to love You. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for giving us Your Son, Jesus, who, when everything falls apart, is still standing on His throne or standing beside His throne, watching us, interceding for us, suffers with us, weeps with us, celebrates with us. Thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus. Lord, we give our hearts and our minds, our talents and treasures to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.